The words from the Passion History, which we consider this evening, are those which are recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter, the 25th through the 27th verses. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our Savior, it's a fortuitous coincidence, perhaps we could call it a liturgical coincidence, that the Passion History for this evening, March 25th, contains the words of Jesus from the cross. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Now, why would it be so noteworthy that these words are read today, March 25th? Most of us have developed a certain amount of skill in counting backwards in time, 9 months. While you might not be thinking right now so much about Christmas in the middle of March, unless you were in chapel here this morning, you might realize that March 25th, 9 months before December 25th, must be significant. It is significant because this would be the day to commemorate the Annunciation, the announcement of the angel Gabriel to Mary, though that day should be called the Festival of the Incarnation. And that has much to do with what we consider in our meditation on the Passion History of our Lord this evening, especially these events which are taking place at Golgotha. The words of our Lord spoken from the cross include these: "Woman, behold your son." To the disciple, "Behold your mother." Because there Jesus gave the care of his mother, who apparently is widowed by this time, over to his closest flesh and blood friend, the disciple John, the evangelist. With his mother, the Virgin Mary, at the foot of the cross, that presses on us the necessity of thinking about the road our Lord took from his conception and his birth of the Virgin Mary to his crucifixion before her very eyes. This disciple, the evangelist John, began his gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with the words, which are surely familiar to us: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word of whom John speaks is the one who hangs on the cross. Now, this has everything to do with Mary, for it was indeed in her womb that the Word was made flesh. The eternal Son of God, through whom the world was made, who himself was not made, not created, but begotten in eternity. This one comes into time and takes to himself human flesh and is made man, is made one of us. The one born of Mary is the Almighty God of the Most High, and he is nothing less than fully and completely God, yet with human flesh. As St. Paul writes, it pleased God that in him, that is, in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in bodily form. And also, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And therefore, Mary is called the Mother of God, Theotokos, because her Son is God. Mary is the Mother of God. Now that, as one theologian has put it, says more about Jesus than it does about Mary. The fact that at the cross, Jesus singles out his mother, giving her over to the care of his best friend, is not just one of those special or tender moments which make this such a nice story and brings even a tear or two to our eyes. It's not a sidelight to give some sympathetic tenderness to an otherwise very intense and emotionally draining series of events. Neither can one suppose that the Apostle John throws this in to highlight his own special relationship to Jesus. Mary is Jesus' mother. She is the mother, not just of a man, but of the God-man, God in the flesh, the Son sent by the Father to bear the sin and the guilt of the whole world, and to suffer the focus of all of God's wrath and all of God's anger for all sin in all people of all time. With Mary at the foot of the cross, suffering her own immense anguish at what is being done to her Son, and yet being pointed to by that one and his mother, as his mother, has to highlight in this gospel that the one who is on the cross is nothing less than the Almighty God himself, the God of the Most High. After all, hadn't the angel announced, "Blessed are you among women. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And hadn't also the angel spoken to Joseph in a dream, Joseph getting his own little annunciation, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And we cannot forget that Matthew quotes the well-known prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, Matthew adds, "God with us." Mary lived under that messianic hope of the Jewish people, which certainly had to recall the words of Isaiah, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And she had to have recognized this in hearing the words of the angel, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." And so the scene which is depicted at the cross here in our altar painting shows Mary at the cross being comforted by John, the disciple of Jesus. And we have to see this in this context, not as a tender, sympathetic human interest interjection into the story of our Lord's suffering. Also, the ancient hymn, the Stabat Mater Dolorosa, "At the cross stood Mary weeping," pulls the story back to what is central. As the centurion said, "Certainly, this was a righteous man. Truly, this was the Son of God." The one on the cross, suffering and dying, is God. Nothing less than that. God forsook him. That was his suffering of hell. But at no point did the eternal Son of God in his divine nature take leave of his human nature or leave it behind in order to escape the indignity, the suffering, the humiliation. The one suffering on the cross was God, the one who cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That one was God, and the one who said, "It is finished," and died, was the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, born of the Virgin Mary. That Jesus commits the care of his mother, Mary, to his friend there at the cross, calls our attention back and underlines who he was and who she was. He was the eternal God, made man. She was his mother, from whose womb came the God-man, the Savior of the world. In her womb, the eternal Son joins himself to human flesh in order to redeem it, to restore it to its creation in the image of God. This, my friends, is what it took to save you and me from our enmity against God. This is an unspeakably great gift, and we treasure this gift as much now at the cross as we do when we stand beside his manger. Incomprehensible it is to us that God should die in our places. Let this most central truth of the gospel be with you in the meditation of his holy passion. Amen.